Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today are two guests. We have Kelly Willenberg, who's president of Kelly Willenberg & Associates, and Don Pittinger, who is clinical research consultant and senior account manager at BioOptronics. Kelly, Don, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah.
So now we're going to talk today about the art of having a strategic advantage in compliance conflict management. And frankly, all of us who are in and around compliance know that conflicts are inevitable. Don, why don't we start with you? Conflicts are, like I said, bound to happen in compliance since, well, you know, when you have to tell people that doing what they want may cause major problems, people don't like hearing those things. Going into a discussion where conflict is likely to occur, what do you need to know about your position to be the most effective?
So I believe that a self-awareness of how you're going to handle the interaction with the person is one of the things to keep track of to be effective. So how you're going to deliver your message, you want to get them to trust you. You want to begin with an end in mind. You know, what is that minimum outcome you need to get from the discussion? You need to know your hot buttons and your triggers. So what are the things that someone might rattle you or cause you to lose focus on the outcome? Is that person you're going into that discussion with, maybe you've had a history with them and you know they can get hostile or they're untrustworthy or unreliable? I think understanding what you're going into is going to help you the most. And approaching it with a no-fault attitude. I don't, many times you don't want to place blame. You don't want them to feel that they've done something wrong in a sense with compliance. It's touchy. There are a lot of caveats to it. So trying to be open and honest and respectful and not making them feel they're being demeaned is very important. And trying to find a creative solution to what it is that you're going to present to those individuals. Kelly, anything to add?
I think one thing you said key that is without a doubt probably the most important part of this is, you know, without trust, everything that you're going to do is harder. And once you break a relationship or you break someone and break that trust or break them to the point that they don't want to have anything to do with you and they're running from the conflict, it's hard to get back to any kind of a harmony between those two people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, quite literally, once you've got them, you've lost them and they're fleeing from you, there's sort of no going back. Now, we already talked about the fact that you really need to get your head, not only in terms of what you want to say, but sort of what their perspective is going to be. What should you understand about the other side's perspective on things to help you win the argument?
So it becomes having an awareness that everyone might handle conflict differently. So maybe it is individuals that you've dealt with before and you know how they may react. So it's important to understand their side of the argument, why they may have done something the way they did or what they believed or what they understood to be the right way. I think it's also important to engage in that active listening and let them feel that you really understand their side of things and that you're hearing what you say, what they say. With active listening, you know, people can hear things and may act like they're listening, but they're really not understanding what's being told. So that's very important. Not to be quick to respond. So think, gather your thoughts to understand and kind of calculate what it is exactly that they're talking about and what their side is. And then I think it's important to have a shared outcome and solidify that position and package it where their needs are also met and their perspective is put into whatever the conclusion or the outcome is of that situation. Kelly, anything else?
You know, I think one thing is that's planning ahead, you know, imagining in your mind and kind of reacting to what they say without thinking about it ahead of time and having some alternatives in your head can hurt a negotiation or can hurt, you know, a conflict that blows up. And I mean, at some point in time, you have to give. And I think being that, having that, a little bit of that flexibility, you know, and having alternatives in your mind, if you've kind of got in your head what they're going to say to you or how they're going to react, having some alternatives and planning ahead will help you to better facilitate the process as it begins.
And having all that in your mind can be a real strategic advantage because, you know, you've already anticipated your argument as well as what theirs is. What are some other key strategic advantages you can bring to the conversation?
Well, I think that one thing that, you know, in dealing with, you know, hundreds of employees at times and having at one point in my career, having, you know, over 80 people reporting to me, and there was always conflict somewhere. It was always a goal of mine to help people and help others to be able to communicate better. You know, that advantage and giving people the opportunity for communication helps with better cooperation. It helps them to collaborate better, and it helps them to be able to adapt and to be able to handle the conflict. You know, and the other thing that I think people have to remember is, you know, an advantage you can take to an escalating situation is having a hold of your emotions and having in your mind, sometimes you have to be able to accommodate the other person and somewhat give of yourself, because that's going to help you to restore harmony and build and strengthen the relationship. And, you know, people are competitive, and, you know, having raised twins, I can tell you that the competition, sometimes there's really nothing you can do about it. What you've got to figure out is, how do you encourage people to make a deal and to not always think about themselves and to not always be looking for their own position, but help to sometimes protect someone else's interest at the same time. Dawn, any comment?
I think that the idea of emotional intelligence, as you touched on, is key here, because it gives you that sense of understanding what is needed to collaborate and cooperate and to come to an understanding and an agreement. And like you said, Kelly, you know, sometimes you have to give, and knowing what your minimums are. So having that kind of planned out ahead of time is a benefit to coming to an agreement and making sure both parties, you know, get something out of that conversation. Mm-hmm.
And that's right. A natural segue into my next question, which is, what are some ways to effectively negotiate in these situations? I mean, the law is the law, but how you get to compliance with the law, there's very different potential avenues. What's the best way to negotiate the right one?
Well, one thing I'll say, and I think we're kind of circling around it just in the conversation among us, but I think you always have to be targeting to establish a rapport and have in your mind that this person that you've got a conflict with, you've got to figure out a way to work with that person. And it's sometimes it's knowing the little things, as Dawn said, that can trigger somebody. And I think anticipating a response and knowing what your wants are and what your needs are versus what they want or they need, because those can be different. And then, you know, like I said, having alternatives and planning ahead, I think, are key when you're trying to negotiate with someone, because, you know, if a conversation starts to escalate, you know, somebody has to take the lead and diffuse it. And, you know, people sometimes are reluctant to be the one that, you know, almost backs off a little bit, and that competition factor comes in, where you want to build that relationship and figure out how you can give a little bit of yourself while they're giving of themselves to come to some resolution so everybody wins. Because, you know, compliance is a very complex art in my mind, and it takes a lot of finesse to do these types of jobs and to negotiate at the level that we are having to negotiate, because we're working in very complex and very detail-oriented areas. Dawn, anything to add?
Yeah, and yes, some things, you know, being that compliance is so complex, there are some things that cannot be negotiated because it is the law. It is a regulation. It is a rule. There are some things. So understanding when you're doing that give and take and you're trying to make sure both parties or who you have conflict with are getting something out of it, know the minimum. You know, you're not going to negotiate something that's ultimately going to get somebody in trouble. So you have to really be able to be reflective and stand your ground and look at it from the other person's perspective. And part of that becomes that delayed response, planning ahead and making sure that you, you know, check yourself, so to speak, in what you're going into with those individuals and within that conflict.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Finally, one last question. Is there any common sense out there about conflict management that in fact doesn't actually make sense in actual day-to-day practice?
Well, one thing that I came up with is, you know, people think that conflict is always negative. And I would tell you that sometimes conflict, you know, the common sense is it's a negative, it's going to be very intense, there's going to be, you know, sometimes gnashing and screaming of teeth. I mean, people are like, oh my gosh, we've got to go at this. And what I will tell you is sometimes conflict is positive and it leads to growth. Sometimes it corrects dysfunction and it can be very productive if it's handled in the right way. Dawn?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, focusing on the positive and creating those dynamic teams out of this. You know, when a new compliance officer coming in or a new group, they have to learn to work with the various personalities that may have existed in an organization. And you have to form that team and that relationship. So being able to gain that trust, and as we know, trust can be broken and not necessarily on purpose, but once it is broken, it's hard to gain it back. So there's all of these steps into creating this common sense practice. I think one of the things too is to not turn away and pretend when there is no compliance issue. That doesn't make sense. That only leads to additional problems that could be very large and quite risky. So not to ignore things just to make the other person happy, but to make sure that it's understood by both parties. I think also not insisting that it needs to be your way. You know, that creates discord among the teams and among individuals. So it takes, you know, some common sense to really handle the conflict and handle the negotiation and deal with the compliance issues.
Well, I would disagree with you just to make the point that you can disagree civilly on these things, but I agree with
yes,
you wholeheartedly.
Yes,
so thank you both for sharing this insight on managing conflicts. I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.